Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 256 of CJ Evolution. That's Criminal Justice Evolution. Folks, this is a podcast for the criminal justice professional like you, hosted by me, another CJ professional, Patrick. And if you're not in the criminal justice field and you're tuning in, we welcome you. Thank you. We hope you stick around. We've got a lot of great content, great shows. You're going to love it. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We hope you enjoy the show. I am super excited to be partnered with Four Sigmatic. I say this every time. That's how pumped I am. I love the coffee. Most notably, their mushroom coffee. But they got cocos and elixirs that you're going to love, too. If you head over to the CJ Evolution website, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, day in and day out, putting it on the line. Thank you so much. Stay safe this holiday season. Holiday season can get a little crazy in regards to the first responders and the criminal justice professionals out there. Be safe. Watch your six, and I hope you have a fantastic holiday season. Folks, my next guest you're going to love. He's not only a Leo, but he's a best-selling author. He's a speaker. He's a warrior. And he is going to help you get to that next level in your life. It's an amazing show. Grab a pen, grab a paper, take some notes, and prepare to be wowed. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super excited to have my next guest on the show, Greg Amundson. He is an amazing guy. He's a number one best-selling author. He's a speaker. He's a warrior. He's a law enforcement officer. Are you there, Greg?
I am here. Thank you for the enthusiasm and warm introduction. It's great to be here, brother.
Well, you are the man, dude. I was researching, for the show, reading up on you, and it seems, Greg, that there is nothing you can do or can't do. And I want to talk a little bit about it in the show, but tell the audience a little bit more about yourself. I think I hit on the highlights, but is there a better intro I could have gave of you, Greg?
That was a great intro. Yeah, it was a great intro. I think it's perfect. I'm humbled by your kind words. Thank you.
Well, you have been involved in so much. Again, you were one of the founding athletes of the CrossFit fitness craze that has taken over the country, the world, right?
Yeah, there's this really interesting scripture that says, the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
And what I found is that I have been at the right place at the right time on so many occasions that the only explanation is that God is clearly ordering my steps.
And do you think it's like that, Greg? Because I agree with that. I mean, I probably didn't always agree with it, but I believe there's a higher purpose. God is watching over us. And there's a reason why we're doing what we are. We're just not floating around. Do you think a lot of people just think they're floating around wondering what to do next?
Well, again, to tie this into scripture, just so the listener knows I'm not making this up or basing this on my own philosophy, there's a scripture spoken by Jesus when he was encouraging his disciples to follow a particular path and to live in a particular fashion. And what he said to answer your question is, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. And so the way that we could illustrate this scripture is with the use of a handheld compass. Mm-hmm. Imagine the old military type handheld compass, and you are utilizing the azimuth feature of the compass to orientate your direction of travel towards God. And along the way, God is bringing you across these magnificent vistas. There are certainly some high peaks. There's some low valleys, yet you know that he's with you the entire time. Mm-hmm. When we live like that, then I can testify based on my own life experience that the journey is amazing.
Yeah.
Yet sometimes, by no fault of our own, our compass is not calibrated correctly.
Yeah, at least.
We end up going in the other direction, in the wrong direction. And so oftentimes it's just a matter of discerning the will of God in our life and drawing close to him and trusting his leadership and in following him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do every day of my life. And when I do that, I can honestly say that everything else that I'm desirous of, just like Jesus promised, is literally added to me.
Yeah.
I don't even have to work for it.
Now, were you always spiritual, Greg? Because I know that your father was a pastor. I know your mother was a minister. Did you always have that strong faith? I imagine you did, probably growing up. But did it ever waver? Were you always very, very spiritual?
Yeah, it's all I've ever known. That degree of faith, that knowledge of the presence of God in my life, and it was provided mainly by my mom and dad.
Yeah.
They were such incredible examples of having a heart like Jesus Christ, of putting God above all else at all times. So it was modeled to me from birth. It's all I've ever known. Yet, God has also put me in so many situations in life through my military and law enforcement experiences that have proven that he is with me, that he is strengthening me, that he is shielding me, that he is protecting me. And so, in other words, yes, faith ministry was modeled to me by my parents, but I've tested it myself in the field of battle. And that's why I stand so strongly on my faith and why I really encourage others, in particular, anyone walking the warrior path, to develop a very real relationship with God. Because we desperately need it in order to face the challenges that we do in this calling of whether it be law enforcement, military, firefighting. Those are all what I would encompass within the term warrior service. Mm-hmm. And if someone feels called to warrior service, then we desperately need God on our side in this battle.
Yeah. And I think out there, from my point of view, Greg, it seems like faith is being just constantly scrutinized and tested. Nothing is ever easy, I know that, but it seems like we're in a culture right now, we're in a society right now. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You can't say certain things. You can't say Christmas. You can't. It's being tested more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so funny you say that.
I mean, it's amazing. I was on a telephone call with a lady a couple days ago, and she was complaining to me about how, you know, the police department was partnered up and doing this Christmas crusade, you know, for people in need and helping wrapping presents. The officers were out there, did an amazing job. And this lady called up and said she was offended because it was called Christmas.
Wow.
It's just amazing, dude. Was it always like that? Maybe I'm just naive.
Yeah, I think it's accelerating along a really dangerous path.
Yeah,
a similar example to what you shared, I was at the dentist yesterday. And on three occasions to different staff members, I said, Merry Christmas. And their response was, Happy Holidays. And I thought to myself, well, yes, it is a happy holiday, but this is also the birth of Jesus Christ. And so how about Merry Christmas?
Oh, we can't say that.
We can't say that. It's a shame. What's so interesting is that, especially for the warrior and in particular law enforcement officers, there's so much scripture that substantiates that God created, he knit together in our mother's womb, to again use scripture, certain qualities of his children that would serve and protect his other children. And so the role of law enforcement is substantiated both in New and Old Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. It is a high, noble calling.
Yeah.
And to remove God from the calling diminishes the capacity of the officer. You know, here's an interesting way to look at this. Yourself, a 23-year veteran of law enforcement, have you faced in your career evil?
Oh, of course.
Right. Me too. Any law enforcement officer within a couple of days on the street faces evil. Now, if you're facing evil, or if the listener who is a law enforcement officer has faced evil, they recognize they're facing evil. They're confronting evil. What does that make you? What does that make them? Mm-hmm. Well, that makes them a force for good.
Yes.
In other words, we clearly have on the street in every given day of our great country's existence, we have a battle taking place. There is a force for good confronting a force for evil. And guess what? That story dates back to Genesis, to creation.
And it's never going to end.
It's never going to end.
There's always going to be this battle.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to put an officer in harm's way and to not let them know, oh, by the way, you're doing God's work. Mm-hmm. You are a force for good in our country. Wow. That is essentially removing their armor, not their physical armor, but their spiritual armor, which they desperately need to wear at all times.
And it's so sad, Greg, you know, I mean, never before in my career, I don't know about your career, you served many, many years, you still are, but I don't think I've ever seen an environment in law enforcement than I am today. I'm not talking about from internally. Yeah, we have our issues, but I'm talking about externally where there's such an anti-police sentiment out there. I think it's toned down a little bit. But back to your point, I mean, officers see this and it wears them down.
Yeah, it wears them down. And they need to be reminded and encouraged and inspired to go back to that day in their career when they first raised their hand and took the oath. I remember that like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. When I received my first credential, my first badge, how excited, how enthusiastic I was, how certain I was that I was going to go out there and save the world.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what law enforcement is all about. It's about having the vision and the expectation and the feeling that we were born for this, that we're going to do good in our community. And unfortunately, that feeling can quickly fade unless we're encouraged by each other. And I think encouraged by Scripture.
Yeah.
To realize that we were created, we were called, we were designed by God for this very service, for this very profession.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it too, Greg, is taking care of ourselves physically, mentally. I mean, physically is huge. I think the better in shape you are, the more you're putting in your good things, good food, you're meditating, mindfulness, all that stuff is going to help you get through those tough times.
Absolutely. There has to be a fully integrated fitness program. Now, keep in mind, for years, my recommendation to officers was, and still is, let me quantify this, was and still is CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And I believe that CrossFit is the perfect physical fitness program for law enforcement. CrossFit is the equivalent of putting on the physical armor that were issued during the academy. You train, you work, and your body literally becomes a weapon. You develop a body that can protect and serve. Now, however, we still need a mind and a soul that can protect and serve. And so CrossFit will bring us to the tip of the spear physically. Then other practices such as meditation, prayer, faith, proper nutrition, proper integration of other spiritual disciplines. These give us what would be referred to in Scripture as spiritual armor as well as physical armor. We need both.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know the answer. I've read, I used to do CrossFit. I probably should get back into it. I mean, I exercise, but I don't do CrossFit anymore. But I remember reading articles about all these injuries that were happening with CrossFit. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure, I can speak to that. I think CrossFit is inherently not only the world's best fitness program for law enforcement, it's the world's safest fitness program for law enforcement. And the reason I can say that is that CrossFit advocates functional movement. Mm-hmm. The movements that we teach in CrossFit, for example, such as deadlift, are utilized during an officer's career. In other words, an officer, whether or not they learn how to do the deadlift in the gym, will likely, during the course of their career, pick up a heavy object that is at rest, which, in other words, is a deadlift.
Yeah.
It is therefore a functional movement. It's a movement that life demands. The profession necessitates our capacity in these functional movements. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if we're learning the movements through a CrossFit fitness program, when, not if, the job requires us to perform those movements, we're ready.
Yeah, you're less chance of injury and stuff like that.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, can you talk a little bit about, because you do so much work, not only with CrossFit, Greg, but you do so much work with Krav Maga. And for those of, and I know what Krav Maga is because my agency uses it, can you explain to the listeners who don't know what Krav Maga is, what is it?
Well, just like CrossFit would be the world's best fitness program for law enforcement, Krav Maga is the world's best combative system. Mm-hmm. For law enforcement. And what's amazing, to take you back in time, is in December of 2001, I met CrossFit founder coach Greg Glassman. I had my first CrossFit workout. And in that workout, I realized this is the holy grail of physical fitness. It's only a matter of time before this fitness program saves my life on the street as a deputy sheriff. At that time, I was working for the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, I met a gentleman who's still a dear friend to me named Londell Theus during my first Krav Maga course in Sacramento. Londell at the time was a sergeant for the Santa Monica Police Department. He was also on their SWAT team, and he was one of the first Americans to be certified as a black belt in Krav Maga. Huge accomplishment. And so here we are within 5 days of meeting Coach Glassman and starting training in CrossFit, I meet Londell. And I'm greatly inspired by him. He takes me under his wing just like Coach Glassman does and mentors me. For the next nearly 20 years, he still is someone I credit as a mentor. Mm-hmm. And in August of this year, I got my black belt in Krav Maga.
Wow.
So it's been a huge part of my life, both Krav Maga and CrossFit. And they're so complementary. What's incredible about Krav Maga is that rather than trying to learn a series of techniques, the officer is learning principles of movement, much like CrossFit. So in CrossFit, for example, you learn a principle, and that principle is core to extremity movement pattern. And so all the functional movement we do adheres to the principle, core to extremity. Well, guess what? It's the same thing in Krav Maga. We're learning principles of movement that are retained under high levels of stress and that are learned very, very quickly. It's a wonderful program for law enforcement.
Yeah. And it's very, I mean, I think most agencies I know, I mean, in Colorado are using Krav Maga.
That's correct. I work very closely with the Colorado State Patrol. I go out there on a regular basis to teach CrossFit. And my dear friend John Paschal, he's currently the leader of the Krav Maga Force Division. He took Londell's place when Londell retired from that position. John Paschal was there very frequently teaching Krav Maga. And that seems to be the theme with John and I, is I'll leave an agency and a few days later John goes. I just taught CrossFit, John's there teaching Krav Maga, or vice versa. And so even to this day, nearly 20 years later, CrossFit and Krav Maga are very, very yoked. And John and I actually have some big goals going into this year of how to further integrate the two programs together.
Yeah. Now, when you train people all around the world, Greg, you go out there, you coach, you mentor them physically, mentally. How do you get people motivated to make that change? And I imagine most people there want to be there. I get that. But how do you get people past those mental blocks that are holding them back? You know, I mean, how do you just get them to take that step?
Well, I've been convinced for a really long time that the best way to lead others or to teach others is by the example we set in our own life.
Yeah.
And so very often I'm not intentionally trying to teach a particular principle. I'm just living the principle.
Sure.
And my life is a testimony of the principles that I subsequently teach. Yet that's the progression. Is embrace the principle, test the principle in my life,
yeah.
Prove the principle, live the principle. People are called by my example to then demonstrate the principle in their own life. They reap the benefit, they teach others, and it creates this magnificent snowball-like effect.
Yeah. But I can imagine sometimes, and I agree with you, that we live in this right now gratification society.
Yeah.
And it took you years, and you're still learning. Everybody should still be learning. But I think it would be problematic, because I've seen it like with, because I teach on the side, and I've seen some students, they just want that instant gratification.
Yeah.
They want to go out. It's so funny when I teach, Greg, you know, I say, well, you know, who wants to do what in law enforcement? I want to be a detective. Okay, great. Do you know where you have to start on the street? You have to start on the street first, right? No, no, I just want to be a detective. No, you got to put in the time.
That's great.
You got to put in the work.
I heard a story about my friend Londell, one of my, as I mentioned, greatest mentors, and he taught me this principle very, very early on in my law enforcement career and in my pursuit of excellence in Krav Maga. It must have been around 2002, and it was in my first test in Krav Maga. And Krav Maga has two pathways. They have the force training division, which is designed specifically and exclusively for law enforcement. Then they have the phase training that is equivalent to any other martial art with a traditional belt ranking system. And I've gone through both progressions. I started in the Krav Maga force division with Mondale. So there I am at my first test in the force training division. Mm-hmm. And there must have been close to 18 officers. This test took place in Santa Monica. And Mondale was orchestrating the test. And we're all performing these techniques at the same time. And I figured out quickly that, well, Londell just can't watch all of us simultaneously. He's going to have to zero in on certain people at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, well, when he's standing relatively close to me and my training partner, that's when he's observing me. And when he's further down the line, he's no longer observing me. Now he's observing another officer. Mm-hmm. And so when he was within very close proximity of me, I would really turn it on. I would bring my full power, my full force, really try to work hard in my technique because I knew he was watching me.
Yeah.
But then when he moved away, I needed to sustain my energy for this test, and so I would tone it down a little bit. Yeah. And Longdale caught on to this. He'd already kind of taken me under his wing, and he wanted more from me.
Yeah.
And so during one of the breaks, he pulled me aside, and he said, you know, Greg, there's two types of pain in this world. There's the short-term pain of discipline and the long-term pain of regret.
Wow.
And it's up to you which pain you experience during
that. I love that.
Yeah, and it was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. And essentially what he taught me is what you were just alluding to, and that is that we have the ability, probably now in our time of life more than ever, to really experience almost instantaneous gratification. Mm-hmm. It's oftentimes at our fingertips. And the way of the warrior is to seek long-term gratification through experiencing short-term pain. Mm-hmm. The pain of that discipline will enable us to achieve the long-term victory that most people will never even come close to experiencing.
Yeah.
And so in other words, I've learned to cherish and actually seek out discomfort.
Yeah.
To the degree that I can say with some level of confidence and maturity that I've gotten relatively good at being comfortable in an uncomfortable environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from years and years of training. But that's no great mystery, or what I've achieved is not some mystical aspiration. Anyone can do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of daily exposing yourself to discomfort in the form of training.
But you know, Greg, that most people, they like their comfort, and they like to live in that, you know, middle part. They don't want to be out on the fringes. They don't want to be discomforted, because once they fail, most people are going to stay down there.
Right, right.
And they're not going to get back up. And unfortunately, again, you know this. A lot of times we have people that are pulling us down, saying, "Yeah, you can't do that. You don't want to fail. You can't do that." And you're exactly right, my friend. You have to live in that discomfort. That's how we grow.
That's how we grow. And believe me, I love comfort also.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying no comfort is good. But in order for growth, like you said, I mean, in order for you to become the best, the warrior you can, what you're doing, all these great things out there, Greg, that you're doing, it wasn't all comfort. It was discomfort.
It was discomfort. Yet the discomfort allows me to experience and enjoy, I believe, to a greater degree, a season of comfort.
Exactly.
So this has to be a system of pendulum swinging. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to swing to the extreme of immense discomfort, immense pain, immense challenge, immense uncertainty. Then we need to be able to swing back to a season of peace, a season of comfort, a season of tranquility. And this is really important because what I'm swinging back and forth between at the physiological level is the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. And to live at one extreme is dangerous. And that's at either extreme. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot live at a constant state of exposure to fear, stress, uncertainty, discomfort. I need to be able to experience the equal and opposite season of rest, of Sabbath, of shalom, of peace. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to fluctuate between them both. And that's really what separates the warrior from the predominant comfort zone of society. Is the warrior has mastered the ability to go to war, to thrive in war, and then to enjoy peace.
Exactly.
And there's no one that enjoys peace more than the warrior.
Yeah. Well, and that's a misnomer out there. A lot of people think, you say the word warrior, Greg, and what do people think? It's kind of like SWAT. Maybe this is a bad analogy, but I'll throw it out there anyway.
Yeah.
You ask people what SWAT does. I ask kids, students, what is SWAT? Are they going, they shoot people, they knock in doors? No. They don't do that. No SWAT officer wants to go out there and shoot people. Most officers don't want to do that. But they can if they have to.
Right.
And that's not their role. That's not the mission of SWAT. But people kind of, maybe that was a wrong analogy, but you say the term warrior. People think, they're just warmongers. They want to go out and start wars all the time. That's not what it is.
Beautifully stated, brother. I like the illustration, and I completely agree. And what's really interesting, perhaps this would be a illustration that would serve a good purpose. In my travels, teaching law enforcement, fitness, and spirituality, what I've realized is that across our country, the word warrior is being replaced by the word guardian. Mm-hmm. And I think that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why.
Well, it's politically correct.
Right. Here's the reason why. Imagine that, and we'll use an example from Scripture. We'll use the example of the shepherd from Scripture. So imagine you have a shepherd protecting the flock. And the shepherd is leading the flock through the forest. And the shepherd suddenly becomes aware, based on their warrior intuition, that there is a wolf stalking the flock. Mm-hmm. The shepherd will go after the threat to the flock. The shepherd or the warrior will not wait for the wolf to come and attack the flock. Mm-hmm. Then it's too late.
Yeah.
The warrior will go after a threat to what the shepherd loves the most, which is the flock. Now, you take a guardian. A guardian will do very nearly the same thing. The guardian will protect the flock, and if the wolf comes out of the forest to attack the flock, the guardian will protect the flock, which is good. But the difference is that the guardian will not leave the flock in pursuit of what could potentially harm the flock. And that's what the warrior does differently, is the warrior will actively pursue the potential threat to that which they hold most dear. And what I've noticed is that because of the increased scrutiny against law enforcement and because of this predominant theme of, well, be a guardian, oftentimes a warrior, or rather a law enforcement officer who is embracing this guardian philosophy and mindset, they no longer actively pursue criminal offenders. Mm-hmm. They'll wait for the dispatched call.
Yeah.
Yet I recall when I was starting in law enforcement, my FTOs were instilling in me the mindset that you hit the street, you actively pursue criminal violators. You actively pursue those people who may be a threat to society. Mm-hmm. Do not wait for them to create havoc. Don't wait for them to commit the crime. Then it's too late. Someone's already been harmed.
Yeah.
You need to preemptively move in and address what could potentially be a harm or threat to society.
Yeah. And I think that that is changing to some degree. I think we lived in we had a certain amount of years, Greg, where we were becoming, and I can only speak where I'm at, where we were reactive. We
right.
weren't as proactive as we should be. But I think that's changing, at least from my perspective. And it was interesting. It made me think when you were talking, and I agree with you 100%, it made me think of the Spartans when they went out there and met the Persians. They didn't wait for the Persians to come to Sparta.
Beautiful example, brother. Perfect.
They went out there with 300, and they said, what? Screw it. We're going to go meet these guys. We're not going to let them get through this part. And they died for it, but not before they took 10 yes. people with them.
Yes, so, and I love that. I love that example. And to further illustrate the significance of this historical example, this yeah. really happened. En route to meet the invading Persian army, mm-hmm. King Leonidas, as he was leading the 300 Spartans, said, a warrior does not ask how many are the enemy. A warrior asks, where yeah. is the enemy?
Where are they? Yeah.
Then the warrior goes and gets the enemy.
Yeah. yeah. Amazing. I wish they would teach this more, Greg. I wish they would talk about this more in the academies. And I guess... And I think I know the reason why in some regards, but we just need to get back to this, man.
I agree, brother. I'm trying to.
I know you are.
Yeah, I teach these principles and I inspire others to do the same. We need to rekindle the fire within the warrior profession.
Yeah. Now, shifting gears a little bit, Greg. I know you got a ton of books out there. You got a lot of them out there. Can you talk a few minutes about them?
Yeah. Well, I've got. One, as a matter of fact, one of them, my newest book, it's called Above All Else. The paperback version of this book came out this morning, and praise God, it's a number one bestseller.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So Above All Else is really an exciting book. It's a daily devotion. There's a page that I would hope the reader would read every day. You line up the day's reading with the day's date. It starts with a scripture and then my interpretation and application of that scripture in your life for that particular day.
That's so yeah, amazing. Really, so needed too.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to have the Word of God in our mind and applied in our life. And what's really neat about the book is for someone who has interest, there's a ton of exegetical work in the book that would encourage further study of the Bible. And so even within the day's devotion, there's notes to the index that would take the reader, if they so desired, deeper into the Word of God.
And where can they find this? Is it Amazon or where can they get it?
Yeah, that's available right now, both in Kindle and as of today, it's available paperback on Amazon.
Okay.
And the other book that's relatively recent is a fable called The Warrior and the Monk. And this is an awesome book. This is taking some really deep spiritual, philosophical propositions and distilling them into fable format that's very easy to understand and apply. And the premise of the book is you have this awesome warrior who is seeking treasure while defending their treasure against dragons. So what we see right away is that treasure is anything out there in the world that we think will satisfy us. And a dragon is anything we perceive as a threat to our treasure in the world. Right? Sound familiar? Right? That's what we're all up to these days.
Yeah, looking yeah.
for treasure and defending against dragons.
Yeah.
So this is leading the warrior nowhere until he meets this monk. And the monk helps the warrior realize that the real treasure he's searching for will only be found in his mind and in his heart. And at the same time, the real dragons that he's facing are also in his mind
yeah.
and in his heart.
Yeah. Your biggest obstacle is yourself. Yeah,
it is. It is really a fun, easy to read book. The feedback I get from that book, and that was also a bestseller. The feedback I get is people get the book, they read it in an hour, and their life is literally changed. It can transform our thinking that quickly. That's the power of the Word of God when we understand it and apply it in our life. Yeah. And that whole book is based on Scripture. It's just presented through this fable.
Yeah, presented a different way. So
exactly.
Now, Greg, I interview a lot of people. I mean, I know you do. You coach, you mentor. I'm sure you would agree that most successful people out there have some sort of morning routine. I know you probably do. What is your morning routine? What gets you out of the bed in the morning, and what do you do to get pumped and jazzed for the day ahead?
Yeah, great question, and this is such an important principle. This is something I teach in my mentorship programs. I teach this in my gym. I illustrate this in my book, The Warrior and the Monk. This is referred to in the warrior Sanskrit tradition as a sadhana, which means daily spiritual practice. And again, we can go back to one of the scriptures I already mentioned early in our discussion today. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. And so in my case, the kingdom of God is literally seeking God. And so the first thing I do in the morning is have a period of silence in the presence of God. I wake up and I move to a section of my home that I've designated for this very purpose. And I become still, I become silent, I pray, and I just allow myself to draw close to the presence of God. That becomes the most cherished, most important time of my day. And I have found that when other people embrace this principle of putting first things first, and when they realize that what needs to be first is God, their life is radically changed in a very profoundly positive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes everything.
It really does.
Well, brother, thank you so much. If people want to reach out to you, Greg, I wish we had more time. If people wanted to reach out to you, brother, where can they find you?
Well, I think the best way to go might be my website, gregoryamundsen.com. That's where people can contact me via email. I have links to my books. I have my podcast notes there. That would probably be the central landing zone, so to speak, to reach out to me.
Really quick, you just mentioned your podcast. There's so much I wanted to talk to you about, and I know time's of essence, but really quick, can you give a plug for your podcast?
Sure, yeah. My podcast is The Gregory Amundsen Show, and it's really more of a ministry. I essentially treat each episode much like a sermon. The emphasis is on being a warrior, embracing the warrior ethos, and understanding how the Word of God enhances the pursuit of the warrior spirit within us.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show, sir. Much success. You are an inspiration. You are doing some amazing things out there. Keep up the fantastic work, brother. If we could ever help you with anything, please let me know. And Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, and God bless you, and may God bless all the officers who are tuning into the show today as well.
Thank you, Greg. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.